Tonight I'm going to talk about our glory ache. And inside each one of us, we have a glory ache. We know about belly aches and back aches and all kinds of body aches. But I'm not sure we know and understand our glory ache. Our glory ache is an ache of the soul. And C.S. Lewis said, "You don't have a soul. You are a soul. And you have a body." And I think that puts us in proper perspective. It puts us in God's perspective. Our glory ache is a soul issue at the very core of our being. And it's very important that we address that. There was a psychologist named Gerald C. May, and she said, after 20 years of listening to the yearnings of people's hearts, I'm convinced that human beings have an inborn desire for God. Whether we are consciously religious or not, this desire is our deepest longing and most precious treasure. You and I were created to see and experience God's glory, evidences of Him all around us and in us. To grow in God's glory, have His transforming power alive and thriving in us, and to shine God's glory, which makes our lives shine of God, so He's recognizable to the people around us, the people we come in contact with. The glory of any created thing is when it is fully fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. That's a psychiatrist's definition. Interesting, huh? But that is you and I, to see God's glory, to embody His glory, to show others His glory is our fulfillment. That's why we're here, girls. That's why we were born. That's why God knit us together in our mother's womb. It is why mankind was made. And it's something that we should keep in the forefront of our minds, but we get kind of busy with life. And unfortunately, we attempt to do quick fixes to silence the ache of our souls sometimes. We esteem people and relationships and family and busyness and productivity and hobbies and work and sex and TV, even food. We just put them at the top of the list to satiate us, to satiate our souls. And we try defining ourselves and redefining ourselves a million times over to solve the glory ache, but it remains. And it doesn't matter how many selfies we put on social media or how many likes we accrue, at the end of the day, we feel this sense of self-induced well-being, but then we realize we still have a hollowness in our souls. Some of these things are blessings in the right context that God gives us, absolutely. But if we are trying to build our image in anything but God, our glory ache just festers. Our Creator, this is so cool, our Creator put that glory ache in us because He aches for us. It's about love. It's about that yearning to be one with those He created. When people are in dire situations, they often come to me as the pastor's wife, and you probably get this from friends too. They'll say, "Don't I have a right to be happy? Or what's wrong with just wanting to be happy?" There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. Wanting to be happy is not a sin. I think it's built into our DNA. I think God put it there. It is one of the many emotions that God gave us. But happiness needs to be defined correctly. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. True happiness is synonymous with God. The Creator of us is the Creator of happiness. It's a package deal. And we want to go get happy and say, "I got this, God." But it doesn't work that way, does it? In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis 1:26, God states our purpose. And he says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. That us means together, in communion, Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one, us as one with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 43:7, God says, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. Boom. That's our purpose. We got to stop running around like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off. We were created to experience His majesty, His beauty, His strength, His love, His wisdom, His goodness, and then to just shine it for all those who don't know Him yet. So they can go, oh, I want some of that. To showcase who God is the fulfillment of my soul. It is the fulfillment of your soul. That's where we're going to find it. You know, it starts out in Genesis, and then we see how consistent the word is, and we get to Acts 17:28, and he's still talking about what glory is. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's our purpose. We were made for his glory, to live and move and breathe in him. Let's talk about what glory is. Glory is so big that I could talk about it for the rest of eternity. But let's try. Scripture uses the word glory like this. It is the supremacy of God in everything. God's glory encompasses the greatness, beauty, and perfection of all that he is. And God's glory is how he makes himself known, the evidences of his goodness. We saw a lot in Patty's slides. When we talk about God's glory, we're talking about every attribute, every action of God, which is perfect and beautiful. And our God is omniscient and omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. So that's his glory and goodness everywhere all the time. We should wake up with that thought every morning. And here is what's so amazing about God's glory, because it's endless, because he is endless. Is that his glory, us, his glory is ours to discover throughout our entire lives. That's the adventure that he's given us. To see his glory, to experience it, to grow in it. And then he decided we were going to display his glory. Holy cow, that's amazing. He's offering us his goodness for now, not just in heaven, now. So we get to experience it a lot more than we are, guys. I think we need to think about this. We're not just going to experience his glory up on the mountain at the retreat. We're supposed to be experiencing it in the good days, in the bad days, in the ho-hum kind of days. He wants to be in it with us. He wants to keep inviting men. Keep looking for manifestations of him. That means we get to live a life of glory and worship if we choose. Paul Tripp has this great quote, so I have to share it with you. God alone stands in this vast universe as the only one who is worthy of the worship, surrender, and love of every human heart. I am so privileged. You are so privileged to be in touch with that. He is so worthy. So if our life is glory discovery and glory display, I think we need to recalibrate our scope and focus. We need to start looking in the everydays and be more aware. And I want to show you how glory happens in the everyday and in the deepest of deeps, because we tend to think, where's God when it's really bad? But he's there. But just in the ho-hum days, we kind of forget. And I get to have these great walks with my granddaughter, little Addie Ray. And, she's investigating everything and talking about everything now. And we came across a very big striped beetle. It was a little off-putting at first, but Addie was all about it. So we were investigating it, and I realized, oh my gosh, this feels pretty magnificent. It was as if God had painted a pinstriped suit on this guy. And Addie was just investigating his wings and his rear end and his head and his antennas. He was already dead, just so you know. And it was like, oh, thank you. And we went from this great science lesson to a glimpse of glory. Like, we had this awe moment together. Like, glory to glory with my granddaughter. It doesn't get any better than that. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is why God says to be as a little child. Because had I not been walking with Addie, I would have went right by that big ugly thing. But he's saying to us, have your eyes wide open to my wonder. Eyes wide open, even on the worst of days. Seeing and experiencing God's glory in ordinary days is his plan for our lives. And we don't want to miss it. It's not just in the highs, but in the mundane and in the lowest of lows. But girls, we have to want it. We have to be purposeful about it. Purposeful to see God in the silly moments, to sing to him in the car, to have potty prayer times, all those times when we can have glory moments. So we have to remember to put those God goggles on. I remember in the lowest of lows, isn't she stinking adorable? Okay. I had to put a few of those in. I'll try to hold them. One of my favorite pictures. But anyway, I remember this one really sad time when I had to have God goggles on because I was barely making it in life. And my dad had just died, and I had just given birth to Taylor, my baby girl. And I felt like I was watching life happen around me. And that I had stepped into death, and life was continuing, but I wasn't in it. I was just watching it happen around me, and I was thinking, oh man, I gotta figure this out. I've gotta live life to the full for the sake of my baby girl. Because I had this brand new life in my arms, but I couldn't get out of it, right? And I didn't even really pray. I was just thinking this. And God gave me a moment. He heard that in my heart, and he entered into that bubble with me. And I stopped feeling separate. He surprised me with himself in that bubble. And whatever was stopping me from living and seeing his glory, he just took it out of me, and suddenly I was in the bubble, and it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. It was the us. And I could understand, okay, life and death is yours, Lord. And somehow my heart was at rest, even though I still grieved deeply. I grieved with a full heart, and I knew that Jesus was with me in it, that he was hurting with me. And I think it just gave me trust. And he allowed me to step back into the land of the living and the loving and the possibilities to come. So what I want you to think about is the many times in your life that I thought about in that moment, like, oh my gosh, God, all these times that I didn't invite you into my living, I missed it. My laughing and my crying and my breathing and my running and my walking and my falling down times. I want to see you. I want to invite you into all those times, because when he climbed into that bubble with me, Acts 17:28 became my scripture. And that's how scripture is supposed to work. It's supposed to become ours. It's not supposed to stay on the page. It's supposed to jump off the page and become a part of us. So for in him, I live, I move, I have my being. It's not like, oh, that's a great concept. No, it's me, it's mine, it's me and Jesus. So the wisest words I could ever give you is do life with Jesus. Eyes wide open, roots deep in his glory, because we were meant to do life with him. Even in the hardest times, when you think he's, where the heck is he? He's there. He is doing it with you. Keep inviting him in. I want you to hear this song the worship team's going to do, and it's called wonder. In that song, the words say, have you ever seen the wonder in the air of second life have come out of the waters with the old one left behind? Meaning the old self needs to die, so now we truly live in his glory, seeing all the wonder and possibilities. So let's talk about that a little bit. It's going to be painful, girls. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Let me say that again. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's a biggie. That is what I call a butt kicker. And it's very important because there's this battle. We want to live for ourselves. Paul Tripp explains it this way. Within the heart of every person is a deep and abiding glory dysfunction. Living for the glory of self, or the old life, is more natural to us than acknowledging and living for the glory of God. The original design, of course, is that we all lived in a glorious world, in existence with a perfect God and a perfect relationship with that glorious God. But sin corrupted that design, and now we desire in sin to live for ourselves. Instead of living for the glory of God, we try to steal that glory for ourselves. That's pretty ugly, isn't it? It gets uglier. Are you ready? He wants us to live for him, right? But we get into this stealing thing where we want to be the center of the world. We want to take credit for only the things that God does. Oh, you know, I shared with that person and they received Christ. Where was God in that statement? Right? You're like, oops. We want to be in control. That means we want to be sovereign over the world, right? We want others to adore us and notice us. We want to establish our own life and kingdom instead of building God's kingdom with him. And we tell ourselves that we're entitled to what we don't deserve, and we complain when we don't get whatever it is that we want. And basically, it's a glory disaster. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, that's not me. I'll bet you it is, because it's me. Sin turns you and I into glory thieves. That's a bummer. We have busied ourselves in building our own image instead of discovering and developing our God-given image. We are like a dog just chasing its tail. And if we want to solve our glory dysfunction, we have to get to the very heart of the dysfunction, which is our heart. And so, we want to say, oh, I need to be, you know, rescued from the world and the culture and media and the government. No, we need to be rescued from ourselves. So this is why Jesus came, and he lived this life so we could see God's glory, and then he died and he rose again and he conquered sin. And so in this amazing grace, Jesus willingly came on a glory rescue mission. And because he did, we have hope. Now, we have to admit, we have to own it, girls. We have to admit that we are glory stealers. It's like an AA meeting. I'm Sharon Miles, and I steal God's glory. We are thieves, but if we cry out for help, we will be free from the never-satisfying quest for worldly glory and live forever in the light of satisfying the glory of God. Now, this is interesting. I keep saying how psychology supports this thing that the Bible keeps saying about glory. But isn't that interesting? God really has all the answers. He does. Because the doctrine of God's glory isn't just about being spiritual. It's about recapturing our humanity. For this is how every human being was designed to live. Don't you think that's why there's so much depression and hurt and pain in our world? We're looking in all the wrong places. So, maybe you're thinking, you know, Sharon, that's all good and really sweet and nice. Could you sit down now? Because I haven't really seen a lot of glory, and I'm not experiencing it right now. Thank you very much. But actually, that's a lie from the enemy, because we have all seen the glory of God in Jesus Christ himself. And every day we should be saying, Lord, I see your glory in my Lord. Because it says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is amazing in itself. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have no excuse. My daughter's smiling back there because I'm preaching it. Hebrews 1:3, the Son, who is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. We do see his glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So we cannot take for granted that Jesus was torn from heaven, from the Father, and from the Holy Spirit for our sake, so that God could so graciously show every human being who he is, his glory. And we need to be a people who acknowledge that and humbly appreciate it very, very much, because without that, there would be no us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. That is magnificence. Now, this is what's really cool, is why we're going to put our God glory glasses on. Because in John 2:11, it was Jesus' first miracle at the wedding. He turned the water into wine. It says, this is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. I love it because his mama knew. Go ahead, honey. Change that water into wine. And his disciples put their faith in him. Do you get the connection there? If you're seeing God's glory, your faith grows. If we're not looking for it, if we don't really want it, we're not going to see it as much, and our faith isn't going to grow as much. So the snowball starts going down the mountain, right? We have responsibility, girls. Glimpses of glory give us faith. Let's make sure we are adamant and put a lot into seeing every glimpse God wants to give us. This entire retreat theme was for you, girls. God gave me this picture in my car by a pond. And I was praying for the church, for myself, like, God, how do we talk to the world about you if we're not shining, if we're not so full of you and bubbling over, and we're just like limping along as the body? What the heck, God? We can talk to him like that. You know that, right? Okay. And that guy, oh, I love him. He gave me this picture, and I know it was him, because when God gives you a vision or a picture, he will confirm it with his words. And other ways, he will confirm it. Because you might go, is that me, Lord? Is that you? Is that me? Is that you? And he will confirm it with his word. And he did. And the picture he gave me was the big black tree. And the sunset behind it. And all the lava and burning ambers, gleaming ambers in there. I'm like, we are going to hell in a handbasket. I was scared. But the Lord said, settle down, honey. And then he gave me scripture to confirm what he was saying. He gave me Ezekiel 1:26 and 27. Above this surface was something that looked like a throne made of blue lapis lazuli. I know it sounds like Dr. Seuss, but it's actually Latin for gem or stone. And on this throne, high above, was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like gleaming ambers, flickering like fire. And from his waist down, he looked like burning flames shining with splendor. Can you picture it? Yeah. Well, God gave that to Ezekiel, and it was a picture of Christ on the throne of glory, and gleaming ambers in this represent God's glory. And what I saw were all those gleaming ambers under that dark tree. So I'm like, okay, we're not going down in the handbasket. That is your glory. Now, what's with the dark tree, Lord? So he gives me Isaiah 61:3. I provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. more of that. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Gleaming ambers are his glory. The righteous will be a display of his splendor. That's us, we're the believers. So God's glory was growing up. All those gleaming embers were growing up, these oaks of righteousness, which are you and me, right? And we have these deep roots in his glory for his glory. Wow. That's amazing. So he encouraged me that he said, this is the work that I am doing in you and in my church. It is my glory. It is over time and through surrender that my righteousness grows strong and firm in my church. So, who's doing all the hard work? God. We're supposed to be that tree. Just hold still. Hold real still before the Lord and grow those roots deep. Why is the tree so dark? I was worried, how do we do this? Because it looks like Tim Burton. But what it is that is God dealing with our glory dysfunction. He is torching it out of us, enough of the self, so that we can grow his beauty in us to shine his glory. How amazing is that? Thank you, God. So we're going to be this beautiful work of art for all the world to see. And he will accomplish that in you and me, and together as the church. And I kept this to myself because I thought, okay, well, who's going to believe me that I'm sitting by the pond and I see this, you know, sunset and this black tree and burning embers? Cuckoo. But I was just bubbling over with this, and I was praying, and then the Lord gave me scriptures, and he confirmed it, and I'm like, oh, man. And so I met with Summer to pray, and she's going to be here to tell her part, so I'm just going to do the best I can. But we pray, and I go, oh, I got to tell you what happened. So I tell her what I saw, tell her the scriptures. She's looking at me really funny. I'm thinking, oh, golly. She goes, well, I got to tell you. I saw black embers and all the gleaming fire in there moving. So he was confirming the vision and saying, hold on, be patient, because it's not just going to be one righteous, strong, firm, founded, righteous oak. It's going to be an army. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo! So we were just like, what? And then we prayed and it was like, oh man, God wants everybody to know this. So this was born out of a glory moment. How cool is that? So what I want to say to you is, we have to get out of the way. We have to kill the self. We have to release, surrender our hearts to him, and let him do that full work of transformation from the inside out. His glory for his glory. And think of a tree. Hold still. Patty said it earlier, be still. We don't have to go, okay, I think I'm going to try harder to be a better person. It's not like that. Be still, invite him in, and he does the hard work. He brings the glory in, he shines the glory out. Gosh, he's good to us, isn't he? The Westminster Shorter Catechism is this: mankind's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We make it sound like such a hard thing. We get to enjoy him. And then we're going to turn around in a month or so, if we're really working on this God goggles thing, and we're going to go, my gosh, I see him here. I felt him and knew him in that conversation. Oh, I see that this meeting with this person in this restaurant was him. I can't believe they just said the scripture you gave me this morning, Lord, and so on, and so on, and so on. We'll go from glory to glory, and our faith will grow, and then we will shine, each one of us, as a disciple, with our faith being grown, and then collectively, we are going to be an army. Amen?
Amen.
Ladies, I want to tell you one thing. This area up here is bigger this year for a reason. And there's pillows. That is because if you have any prompting of the Holy Spirit all weekend, Shirley and I really had this on our hearts. We want you to say yes to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do because we're his daughters. And if we're worshiping and you want to come forward and you want to kneel and you want to stand and have your hands up, feel free because this is his house. And it's not about what Mary Sue or Bethy Joe is doing over here because we're doing this when we worship, okay? So feel free to keep your heart wide open. If you need to raise your hands, you raise your hands. If you need to stand, you stand. If you need to kneel, kneel. Okay? We're going to even dance this weekend a little bit for God's glory. Okay? So feel free. Grab a pillow and sit down and worship down here if you get prompted by that Holy Spirit. And then if you don't, that's cool too. Do what you and Jesus need to do to have an open heart. Okay? I want to close in prayer. And then we're going to do some fun stuff. We're not going to end the evening, okay? Right? I'm going to pray first and then a song. Yeah. But you want to do? Yeah, I'll pray. Or should we? No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer while she gets her guitar. Jesus, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your message. I thank you for loving us so much. I thank you that you are the picture of glory to us, that your life is God. So we can see who you are and your character and what you want to build inside of us. Help us to trust you, God. Help us not to white-knuckle anything that is just about us. Please, God, clean us out of all the selfishness that we have, all the grip we have on our life, all the things we think you should be doing or not doing. Help us, God, to open our hands and open our hearts to you and trust you, God, that you have an amazing, amazing plan for each of us. And help us to understand who we are as your church, Lord, as your daughters. And help us to love each other and show the world who you are as love. Help us to have the first thing in our mind in the morning is that we get to discover more of your glory, God. When we're putting our mascara on or washing our hair, God, let it be time with you to see, God, what your day is going to be, what your life is going to be in us. Transform our scope of what we see this life to be. Expand it. Let us have your vision for living and your vision to love the lost and your vision to love each other as the church. I ask this, God, and we all humble our hearts before you and ask that you would do that holy work in us, each one of us, and collectively as your church. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.